Network. We are proud to have you in our radio family.
Wir gratulieren euch zum 40. Geburtstag und wünschen euch 40 weitere erfolgreiche Jahre.
We're a community, and here's our radio station.
Welcome to Sprouts Radio, radio from the grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience produced at a different location every week. I'm Cindy Johnson from WRT in Madison, Wisconsin. Today on Sprouts, we'll look at trash picking. You'll hear entertaining stories from several veteran trash pickers and some guidance from the authors of The Scavenger's Manifesto. Most people love the idea of Robin Hood, that guy in the old English folklore. He stole from the rich and gave to the poor, and he had a good time doing it. Today, you're going to meet some hybrid Robin Hoods. They have just as much passion and swagger and merriment as Robin Hood, but with a few small variations. They don't exactly steal things, they do keep some of the loot for themselves, and they help out other people and Mama Earth at the same time. Who are these people? Yes, garbage pickers, also known as trash pickers, foragers, urban gleaners, dumpster divers, freegans, curb shoppers, and scavengers. There are a lot of names, but the definition remains just about the same. A picker gathers what others are wealthy enough to throw out, and there's a lot of it. Pickers love to share their stories and philosophies, and if you're lucky, to let you in on some of their techniques. So get ready to meet several veteran trash pickers and find out why they do what they do. Wait a minute, I know what you're thinking. Isn't that kind of gross? And isn't that just socially wrong? And can't you even get in trouble for that? We'll find out.
You shouted garbage picker, garbage picker, garbage picker. Garbage picker, garbage picker, garbage picker.
Meet Captain Zero, a.k.a. Tom Neal, the longtime voice coming from his garbage truck to the airwaves of WRT 89.9 FM in Madison, Wisconsin. Think a mix between Robin Hood with a shot of Abby Hoffman.
Okay, well, to give everybody a backstory, I started work for the City of Madison in the Streets Division in the summer of 1979, and at some point not that long after that, maybe within a year or two, I was picking trash when a can of yellow paint, the same color as they paint on curbs to indicate no parking, exploded in the back of the truck because of the way the blades come down and compress things, that occasionally stuff gets caught and it just blows, you know, it just pops out or blows up. And I got yellow paint all over me, and it ruined the shirt I had on, the T-shirt and the pants, and I put in a clothing claim and only got $6. Now, I think that when that happened, and $6 then is probably worth about $15 now, but it still wouldn't have bought me anything. So I went, oh, that's ridiculous. So I then started paying much more attention at first to the clothing I was throwing away in order to, like, find work clothes in the trash so I didn't have to go out and pay for them. And as I started doing this and paying more attention to what I was throwing away, I started finding everything else.
So Tom transformed from a worker who disposed of other people's trash to a person who sifted and saved items from other people's trash. Along the way, he learned some really clever ways to combine work, politics, and charity.
It broke down into two basic ways over time. This is not a system I developed 2 weeks after the yellow can incident. Over time, the smaller items, small bicycles, radios, mini-vacs, clothes, CDs, art supplies, etc., etc., books, etc., 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 I had places I could hide them on the truck, either in my lunchbox or, you know, there's various places I could put things. With larger things, like, say, a gas grill or one of those fancy picnic tables with the seats attached, I had friends all over town, and I would ask different people in areas up around where my routes were on different parts of the east side, and I would drop stuff off at their house and then come back after work with my pickup truck and take them home.
Of course, the management was not very happy with his picking practices.
Because I ran for mayor in 97 and 99, I got to know various people in the media, like John Nichols, Melanie Conklin, Bill Leaders, and others. And whenever management started to harass me, they knew I was not adverse to calling, say, Bill Leaders and telling him, hey, I'm taking stuff and giving it away. And they didn't want the bad publicity, so they usually back off. So they basically left me alone most of the time after a while.
That is brilliant. But Tom didn't stop there.
The biggest issue, of course, is landfill siting. And anything you can keep out of the landfill means it's going to take longer to fill up. And I don't know what they're going to do with Cherokee, because that's, I've been told, within a couple of years is going to top out. So they're going to have to come up with another landfill site not too far away from the Madison area to make it, you know, fiscally feasible. And that's going to be a huge fight. So, you know, they knew all these things. I was giving stuff away to friends, to St. Vincent's, to disabled down at the Gay Braxton thing. We used to take clothes down there and put them on the free table and stuff so that, you know, the disabled who don't have any money or on SSI could have clothing. And they really didn't want me going to the, you know, the media and saying I'm being constrained from doing this because of their policies.
For Tom, trash picking means much more than just picking things up off the street. Much more.
Ultimately, without sounding too philosophical, it's economic empowerment or economic sovereignty from below. And if you can, like, find things in the trash that you as an individual or friends you have or family members can honestly use, then you have saved whatever you would have had to pay to purchase the same item. Then you have that money, that disposable income, for something else. Plus, of course, the idea of reusing things so we don't use up the earth the way we seem to be intent on doing.
Anyone can be a trash picker. Here's Tom's best suggestion on how to get started.
I'll tell you one way to sort of put your toe in the pool, so to speak, is what I do now is I buy all my clothes, with the exception of my underwear and my socks, at thrift stores. And as you start wearing used clothing, you begin to realize, oh, there is also another source of used clothing where I don't have to pay any money.
I'm a steward. I'm a thrifter. I'm a saver. I'm a sister. I'm a mama. I'm a picker.
That was Mick Gentry, poet and local rock star. She looks exactly like Cher did during those few days she was married to Greg Allman. Mick lives about a half hour from Madison, Wisconsin, in her own house with her daughter, Isabella, who's 7. Mick has scavenged almost everything in her house from other people's trash. She seems to have a psychic sniffer that tells her where to go.
Well, I get a twitch in my skin. I sense the sensors go up. It's like antennae. And I have these inclinations. Sometimes I'm compelled to go down a street that I don't even know why I'm going down, but I soon ascertain why it is I'm going down that lane, because there is a treasure to be found, and I'm the one, I am the pirate, and I find the booty.
Trash picking started early for Mick, simply out of necessity.
When you grow up poor, and funds tend to not be very fun because there are none, you have to find ways to get things that normal people don't have to do. And one is to find things that people just don't have any use for anymore and find a new use for them. So that's what I do. And I've been doing it most of my life. Probably started around sixth grade, hardcore.
After all these years of trash picking, Mix got her gig down. And she has her reasons for it.
I also just feel like it's a matter of money. It's a matter of I can get things that would normally cost me money, and because I'm indigent, I find things that are useful, as simple as, like, you know, Windex to a sofa. So I find that if I trash pick, I'm able to find quite a bit of supplies that normally I would, you know, take monies to buy, and I don't have those monies. I just drive the streets the day before, you know, the night before, typically, depending on the weather. That's a pertinent bit of my operations is it going to rain the night before or the morning of? And typically, I try to go in search, and especially around the time of garage sales where people are like, oh, I didn't sell it. I'm gonna chuck it. I'm going to throw it. So you ride the streets in hopes of finding little golden nuggets.
So Mick has 110 lamps in her house, but she's a generous soul as well.
Well, yeah, I have a propensity, call it a problem, for collecting the pretties. Got lots of pretties, maybe I'm borderline hoarder, but I don't keep everything. And many a times I pick up things to go donate to Goodwill or even the local shelter that needs certain items. Or I then turn around and capitalize on people's garbage. You know, I've made money by selling things in garage sales or selling them to, you know, friends or putting an ad on Craigslist. And you know, I tend to either share, sell, or save. I tend to save more than I do anything of the others, though.
This is how Mick sums it all up, her psycho-spiritual philosophy on trash picking.
Don't be ashamed of trying to do something that I think is a just and right thing to do. And if it's against the law, laws need to be changed. And I believe in the freegan society. Obviously, I don't totally live my life based on that. But I do believe that there should be no criminal activity. If you're rummaging through people's personal information and illegally obtaining that, I understand that. But I think it's the crime that people are so wasteful.
You shouted, garbage picker, garbage picker, garbage picker.
Sandy Waters lives in an upper-middle-class neighborhood with her husband. She has two kids in college and five little dogs at home that she rescued. Her skin is a canvas covered with gorgeous tattoos, and each one holds a deep meaning for her. She started picking as a child, and she has never stopped.
I started as a child collecting cans since I was probably about seven. I'd go through garbage cans, getting cans, getting bottles, and at that time, you could take it down to people, to recycling companies, and get money for your cans, money for your bottles, and newspapers, my heavens. If people would put newspapers out by the garbage, that was easy pickings. And then I went around the block, rang everybody's doorbell. Do you have newspapers for me? Do you have cans for me? Do you have bottles for me? And I'd run around the whole neighborhood. That was a whole lifestyle. And then people would put furniture out. We lived in an alley. Put furniture out by their garbage cans. We'd take that. Use their furniture. That was very easy, and it was very common. People didn't have much money. Put something out, you take it.
Sandy understood right out of high school that she could make money having garage sales.
I've been having garage sales for 30 years, and many times 3 and 4 yard sales a year. And sometimes I pick up things specifically in a dumpster on the curb, knowingly I don't need it, just to sell it. That's easy. That's good money.
Sandy has her own niche and her own routes. So here's some of her very practical tricks that she'll share with you.
My trick is you have to know when the garbage pickup is. So if it's Sunday, it's a Monday morning. Sunday night, you drive around the neighborhood, see who's put things out on the curb. And if you live in an apartment, that's even greater because you've got multiple people putting stuff in furniture because people move in and out of apartments all the time. They put their furniture, clothing in a dumpster all the time. Look in the dumpster. The second you park your car in an apartment complex, go check out the dumpster. Someone threw something out. You know it, and you can use it. Apartment living is great for dumpster diving. And if you live in a neighborhood, you know when trash pickup is. Go the night before and just pick up as much as you possibly can.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of national interest. I'm Cindy Johnson from WRT-FM in Madison, Wisconsin. Today on Sprouts, we're talking trash and exploring the world of scavenging. We've just heard from three accomplished trash pickers. But is it really legal to trash pick? Before going out to trash pick, find out exactly what the laws are in the area you'll be picking at. I called the Madison Police Department and spoke with Joel Despain to find out what the rules are in our area.
I'm Joel Despain. I'm the Public Information Officer for the Madison Police Department. And we're talking about people who might take something from a curbside when someone is tossing something out. There is a city ordinance that has to do with rubbish scavenging, and that's a $114 ticket if somebody is cited for that. Generally speaking, I've spoken with many officers, and they say this isn't something that's high on their radar. It's really not something that they're looking to go out and cite people for these types of activities. That said, if someone is complaining to us, a citizen, that someone is messing up their trash or is doing something in front of their house, we might respond, and it might be a call for a check person, and it is possible that somebody could be cited. The major difference between residential areas where we don't see much enforcement when it comes to people taking things from the curbside, the other side of that would be businesses where there are recyclables and large bins, appliances, metal, things like that. We are having a rash of crimes in the Madison area that have to do with metal thefts, and that is something that we would see more enforcement for something like that. Typically, if you have somebody taking metal, even scrap metal, that would be a theft. It's not going to be something that's going to be a city ordinance violation of rubbish scavenging. It'd probably be more of a state statute, a criminal code.
I asked Joel how he personally feels about trash picking.
And I actually think it's a good thing because it puts stuff to use and it keeps it out of the landfill.
When it comes to trash picking, especially in college towns, during student move-out in mid-August, it's important to understand exactly what is happening and why and when it's happening. This way, a Robin Hood scavenger can both take advantage of the surge of available items and help the earth at the same time. I spoke with George Druckmann, who is the recycling director for the city of Madison. With 40,000 university students in Madison, I asked George what student move-out is really like.
All of this activity is compressed in a very short period of time, which puts a lot of stress on the people who are moving out. And when they're under stress, they just focus on the immediate job at hand, which is to get the old apartment clean, pack up the stuff they're taking to the new apartment, and get rid of the rest. And so it's difficult for them to focus, or to get them to focus, on what they have that could be reused by other people.
Even though the city has made numerous attempts to handle the situation, it's still a quagmire.
We tried distributing special bags with information in them aimed at getting people to put unopened food and smaller items and clothing in these special bags and place them on their porch for reuse, and we would come by and pick it up. And we had very little success with that. It just wasn't worth the driving around we had to do to pick up the 50 or so bags that people put out. And so we just really have always been strapped with this constant turnover and trying to figure out ways that that we could deal with it. We partnered with the university for a number of years on the program and just could not make a dent.
That has to be extremely frustrating. Surprisingly, trash pickers are not always helping the situation.
While it's nice that there are people who are trying to make use of some of this material, in general, from our perspective, they cause more harm than good. They don't get a lot of material in terms of the 800 or so tons of material that comes out during this time of year. If they get anything close to 2 tons, maybe 3, it's a lot. And a number of the people who do the scavenging rip open bags, try to find some usable stuff, and scatter the trash that had been in a bag on the ground, contributing to the general mess. And I hear often enough that we're out trying to ruin hippie Christmas by getting this material off the street. And really, we try to get people to focus more on donating it or trying to find other ways to get rid of it ahead of time. That would be the real answer to this issue, as opposed to counting on scavengers to go digging through the material.
Luckily, some trash pickers do it right.
Now, there are a lot of scavengers who go out there and do it right. They are trying to look for either certain items they need for their new apartment, or they will try to pick what they can, and they don't leave it. They don't leave behind a mess. But unfortunately, the people who leave a bigger mess there than when they come are the ones who really cause a problem. And while they're probably a minority, they make such a mess that we really want to discourage almost anybody from trying to do it.
So one can do it right for the sake of everybody.
That in reality is what most scavengers do. Mm-hmm. By taking some stuff that they can put to use, or even finding some stuff they can go sell at a yard sale. More power to them.
Annalie and Kristen were natural born scavengers. When they found each other in college, their mutual love of finding gems led them to trash-picking romance. Yes, they were married and later co-authored their book, The Scavenger's Manifesto, a guide to freeing yourself from the endless cycle of buying more and more new, though not necessarily improved, stuff, and discovering how salvaging, swapping, repurposing, reusing, recycling can save the earth, your money, and your soul. Long title, but it tells you everything you need to know.
The thing about scavenging is that it can be individually tailored. If you are a person who just needs to save money, you don't need to go and be a heroic, gross scavenger. We have something I call the ick factor, which means everyone has their level at which they're grossed out. And we don't want anyone to go beyond that level. You don't need to do that. Scavenging is fun and it's useful. It's not something you have to prove. I always get asked in interviews, you know, what's it like to dig in the garbage? I don't really dig in garbage because I have a pretty low ick factor, so that I'm grossed out pretty easily. You know, there's things I'll do and there's things I won't do. And this is just something that I think everyone should know. Anyone can be a scavenger, and we're hoping that people will embrace that and be proud of it and not be ashamed of it, like we were brought up to be ashamed of being the people who pick things up off the street.
So there's practical trash picking, and then there's enriching, adventurous trash picking, a quest for stories from the past.
What I'm always looking for is, you know, things that have a historical value. I'm not so much interested in the monetary worth of something, but I want to find something that, you know, you can research, like, where did this come from? What does this mean to history? Like, for example, recently we were in San Francisco and we were in a park, and I had researched ahead of time. I knew that this park was where people lived in a tent city after the 1906 San Francisco earthquake, and they were like refugees living there. And I'd always sort of known that this is the last remaining place in San Francisco where it's unpaved, where they used to have a refugee town. And I found in the dirt tent stakes from a tent that someone had lived in as when their house had burned down in the San Francisco earthquake over 100 years ago. And I got into researching the whole thing and where the tents were in the park and everything. And I was like, wow, you know. And of course, it was just a rusty old pole that I had found. It had no monetary value, but to me, it was like incredibly interesting. Like, this has a story behind it. So I kind of like finding stuff that, you know, tells, makes me learn rather than makes me rich.
For him, it's archaeology. That's the great thing about scavenging, is that it can be different things to different people. And we meet many different scavengers. And for some people, it's just clearly, I need to save money. For other people, it's, I want to make money, where they're finding old books that they're reselling, things like that. For other people, it's creativity. They're finding things they're going to make art out of. And when you get into that, you can make art out of almost anything. You find crazy old building blocks and books that you tear up. And last year, I got into a thing where I was making torn-up magazines into beads and making necklaces out of them. So for some people, it's creativity and art. For some people, it is pure archaeology, because everything does have a story. Everything you find. Right now, I'm into old magazines. I found this big pile of National Geographics from the 30s and 40s, and I thought, oh, these are so heavy, what a hassle. But now I can't resist them, and I'm totally into them, because they're talking about a time that is so long ago and so different that even the advertisements are mind-blowing to me. Come downstairs, children, and see your Christmas present. A wonderful Remington typewriter. Its lively keys are waiting to tell a story. I mean, it's magical to me.
For more information and tips, check out their blog, scavenging.wordpress.com. And may you find everything you ever wanted, possibly even romance, in the trash. That's it for Sprouts. You have been listening to a program on trash picking. This week's program was produced by me, Cindy Johnson, at the studios of WORT in Madison, Wisconsin. Production and editing assistance came from Doug Johnson and Molly Stentz. The music you heard was the song Garbage Picker by the band Blanche. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.
Saluda a toda su audiencia y llama a que se hagan socios y socias de la radio para poder continuar dando sus servicios a las comunidades. Encuentras la cuenta postal en nuestra página web www.radiolorasaluda.com. www.lora.ch. Muchísimas gracias por su aporte y solidaridad.